You find in your Bible once again that portion of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 4. I want to try to bring a study this evening from verse 17 down through verse 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as others walk, as other Gentiles, unbelievers walk. How do they walk? They walk in a vain show. They walk into vanity, the emptiness of their mind, because their understanding is darkened, alienated from God, ignorant, hard-hearted. Pretty vivid description of fallen humanity, what we are in ourselves. Now, we have given to us as believers in Christ Jesus these wholesome and gracious words of instructions to live by and to die by. These are words to live by and words to die by. These things are given by God inspiration concerning our daily walk, our daily experience as we live and conduct ourselves as believers before this God-hating world. Notice he says, first of all, in verse 17, this is the testimony of God. This is the testimony of God. This is Paul's testimony, but also it is the testimony, the true witness of God given unto us. For what Paul speaks and writes is God-given, God-breathed. These are the instructions of God explicitly given to us as believers. For what Paul writes and speaks is God-given. He speaks by the authority of God, for all Scripture is God-breathed, God-given, God-inspired. Now, here's what he's reminding us, that you henceforth, now that you know Him and are one with Him, that you walk not as others, walk not as the ungodly Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Now, before our conversion, before salvation, we walked as all others walked and lived. Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. Before we met the true and living God, we walked just as all others walked in the vanity of their mind. He reminds us over in chapter 2, you remember these verses in verse 2, chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 2, he said, wherein in time past we were dead in trespasses and in sin. You see that in verse 1? Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. How is that? Away from God. Away from God. Not toward Him, away from Him. According to the prince of the power of the air, influenced by the demonic spirit, Satan himself. Influenced by him. Maybe inspired by him. The spirit that now works in children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conduct. Wait a minute now. Saul of Tarsus, he was a very religious man. Was he not? He was a Pharisee, a self-righteous man. But he said, we all had our conduct in times past. Here he's confessing, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. What was his desire in the flesh? To kill believers. I mean, to murder believers. And he carried that out till God stopped him. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by children, we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Look at verse 4. But God. Now here's the difference. God has made us to differ. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now He says again, remember, in the same chapter, verse 12, He said that at that time you were uncircumcised Gentile, that at that time you were without Christ. Now that's us by nature. Without Christ, alien from the commonwealth of Israel. We were idolaters. We were strangers to any covenant promises, having no hope. The hope we had was a false hope. Having no real, lasting, true hope without God in the world. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You see what we are by nature and what God has made us in Christ Jesus by His grace. Before our conversion, for our salvation, we walked as all others walked and lived. And we may have been very religious, but yet we were lost. You know, it's hard to find a lost man. Everybody knows God these days. But when, by God's grace, believers are made new creatures in Christ, we no longer walk and conduct ourselves as we did before we met the true and living God. He has made us to differ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. That's His work in us. In us. You remember chapter 4, verse 1? I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the calling wherewith you're called. That's our desire, to honor Christ, to honor the gospel of God's saving grace in Christ Jesus. We are plainly told not to walk and live and conduct ourselves as we once did. And believers, that's their desire. That's their heart's desire. Now, he mentions several things here. And I believe this describes us to a T, what we were before God in mercy brought us out of the pit of ruin and translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Vanity of mind. Vanity of mind. We thought at one time God owed us salvation. That's a vain thought, is it not? We know now that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. In the vanity and emptiness of our carnal, fleshly, godless, mindless, we lived as an unbeliever. This is the essence of all idolatry and vain religion, the vanity of mind. Vain thoughts about God. Vain thoughts about self. And you know how this takes form? We think this vain thinking is foolish thoughts about God, low thoughts about God, and thinking high thoughts about self. Low thoughts about God. The psalmist wrote these words, God speaking through him, and God says, you thought that I was altogether such a one as thyself. Oh no, God's not like us. He's holy. He's high. He's the absolute God. Nothing is more godless and vain than for a sinner to try to establish a righteousness of his own rather than trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a vain show. That's walking in the vanity than the vexation of your own wicked mind, trying to establish a righteousness by your own hand. That's a vain mind. That's how we walked before we met the true and living God, in a vain show. Doing what we, thinking by not doing something we gain God's favor, or by doing something we remove God's wrath. Oh no. We only gain God's favor in Christ Jesus. And God's wrath is only removed because the Lord Jesus Christ took our sin in His own body and took all the wrath due my sin. But that's what he's reminding these pagans. Now, when Paul walked into Ephesus, he didn't walk into a place that was thriving with believers. These were pagan idolaters. I mean, they were dancing around totem poles. They were worshiping idols of stone. You say, well, I never did that. Any vain idea of God that's less than the absolute God is idolatry. You've whittled out an idol of your imagination rather than worshiping the true and living God. See what he's saying here? In a vain, vain show. The second thing he mentions is this, verse 18, having the understanding dark. Dark. Dark understanding. Now the natural man, the old Adam nature, he's born in darkness and he lives there till God turns on the light switch. Have you ever walked into a dark room? Ever walked into a room that's full of darkness? You don't go in there hunting for something on a shelf in a dark room. You walk through the door and the first thing you do, I guarantee it every time, the first thing you do, you turn on the light switch, don't you? You're a fool if you don't. You turn on the light switch to find illumination, and then you can find what you're looking for. The natural man is in the dark until God turns on the light. We'll never see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God must command the light to shine. That's what it says exactly in 2 Corinthians 4:6. God must make the light to shine. The natural man, you know what it says in John 3:19? The natural man loves darkness, not light. You know why? Because it goes on to say his deeds are evil and he will not come to the light because it exposes his deeds as being nothing but evil. Understanding darkened. That's where we were before God turned on the light and shined in our heart. Totally ignorant. A person may be very intelligent about many natural things, but yet being totally ignorant of the true gospel and in the dark and blind to the truth. And that's all men apart from God turning on the light. Understanding darkened. When it talks about salvation, it talks about us being translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. How does that happen? By grace, sovereign grace, by the power of God. We read in 1 John 5:20, the Son of God has come, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's given us an understanding. If he doesn't give us an understanding, we'll never understand the truth and never believe the truth. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. The natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Will not. God must give us light and God must give us understanding. God must give us a new mind, a new heart. Take away that stony heart. Give us a new mind. So, vanity of mind, understanding darkened. Thirdly, he mentioned being alienated. Being alienated. Aliens. We're aliens. Aliens to God's love. Aliens to God's mercy. Knowing nothing of God's love and mercy. Being alienated totally from the life of God. Salvation in Christ. The life of God through ignorance, blindness of heart, hardness of heart. Being alienated from salvation in Christ Jesus. Through our own willful ignorance and sin against God. Separated from God because of sin. Ignorant of our own sin and ignorant of a true and living God. Now, it's not nice to call somebody ignorant. If you walked up to a stranger on the street or walked next door to your neighbor, knocked on a door, said, Mr. Jones, you know, you're ignorant. He'd probably pop you in the nose. And maybe you have a good reason to pop you in the nose for being arrogant and calling somebody ignorant. But you know, the Word of God calls anybody who goes about to establish his own righteousness ignorant. Ignorant of God. They're ignorant of God, therefore they're going about to establish their own righteousness by the doing of their hand. Alienated, ignorant, blind. Boy, that's a vivid description. Does that offend you?
That's a description of what we are before God saved us in mercy. Vanity of mind, understanding darkened, aliens, ignorant, and blind. Hard-hearted. Blindness of heart, which includes the mind, the will, the understanding, the affections. And that's our whole sinful nature. Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The carnal mind, our natural fleshly mind, Romans 8:7, is enmity against God. The natural man is not in love with God, not the true and living God. He hates God. Hates the true and living God. If you love God as He's revealed in this book, as the absolute, holy, sovereign God, it's because God has made you to differ. The only reason. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 15? He said, out of your heart. You remember they had the controversy with the Pharisees about they were offended because the disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate food? That's good to wash your hands before you eat to try to keep from maybe picking up some kind of germ or bug. But that doesn't have a thing to do with a sinner's salvation. Now, that's not going to recommend you to God because you wash your hand. But those old Pharisees, they were upset with the disciples because, you know, they didn't wash their hands. And the Lord said, it's not what you put in your mouth that's your problem. It's what flows out of your heart. You see, what's in the well of the heart comes out through the bucket of the mouth. And our Lord said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, contrary to God. And that's us. That's us. Evil, through and through. None righteous, no, not one. Look at verse 19. He goes on. It's bringing us way down, isn't it? It's describing us what we really are. What we really are. Look at verse 19. Who being past feeling. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto all manner of wickedness, lasciviousness. What a terrible word, just to pronounce it, lasciviousness. To work all uncleanness and with greediness. Greedy, unclean, and wicked. That's us. That's us in ourselves. A further description of our former idolatry. Having no remorse, having no conscience of guilt against God. Now, we may have had some temporary remorse because we got caught in some kind of mischief. But no real godly sorrow to repentance, sinning against God. Having no conscience that we've sinned against God and violated His holy law. No remorse for sin against God. Given over to wicked desires of the sinful nature, given into whatever the corrupt nature desires. How awful to be given over to self and to be left in the wicked desires of our own wicked heart against God. That's a terrible place to be. But that's our state by nature. Look at verse 20. But. There's that big little word, B-U-T. But, you see verse 20? But God who is rich in mercy. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you've heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Christ Jesus. Verse 20. Thank God we've been delivered from such an awful state of darkness, idolatry, and ignorance, and have been made to know the true and living God. This is all of God's grace. For it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy on us, according to as he will. Believers in Christ Jesus are filled with the knowledge of Christ, because we've been taught by him, and to us the Lord is altogether lovely. But you have not so learned Christ. See, he's been our teacher, and he has taught us the right lesson. And the Lord to the believer is altogether lovely. To you who believe, he is precious. We've been taught something of our own sinful nature and depravity, haven't we? We can say with the Apostle Paul, "Oh, wretched man that I am." We've been taught how sin is put away by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taught us that, how sin is put away. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. We've been taught that the Lord Jesus Christ is all in salvation and everything in salvation. Christ is all and in all. There's neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been taught that the Lord Jesus Christ is all of our righteousness before God. This is the things that we have learned by His grace, learned by His mercy. Now look at verse 21. If so be, you've heard Him. Now who have you heard? Well, I heard the preacher down the street. Did you hear him? Did you hear the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you hear him? If you've heard him and have been taught by him and have learned of Christ as the truth is in him. Have you heard him? Have you been taught by him? Have you learned the lesson that he teaches? That salvation is in him as the truth is in Christ Jesus. Seeing it is true that you've heard him and have been taught by him and have been conquered by him, as the whole truth of salvation is in him, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by and through me. Seeing it is true then that you've heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in him, he is truth. Look at verse 22. Now put off concerning that former conduct, that former idolatry. Be done with it. Be done with it. That old man, that old nature, which, now notice what, how this is said, which, it doesn't say which was corrupt. It says it is. Put off, put down, suppress that old sin nature, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Now seeing it's true, we've been delivered as believers from the bondage of sin, from the curse of the law. Put off, put off the old man. What does that mean? It means to put down, put him down. Continue to discard the former conduct and the thoughts of the old man, the old Adam nature, which is corrupt with deceitful lust. Put it off. Now make sure you understand this. Now make sure you get a hold of this. In regeneration, the old sin nature is not eradicated. He's still there. The old sin nature is not eradicated. The old sin nature no longer reigns, but he still remains in us and still rages in us. It has to be dealt with every day. Therefore, there is within the believer that constant battle of flesh and spirit. As it says in Galatians 5:17, the flesh lusted against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary one to another so that you cannot do the things you would. I would worship God with a perfect, perfect thought. Never have. I would, if possible, this old man, never have a contrary thought to the will of God. Never have an evil thought. But that's not reality. I still have this old, rotten nature that still roars and rages that must be dealt with every day. Put the old man off. We battle with him. Our Lord said, that which is born of the flesh is just flesh. Thank God one day this old Adam nature will put it in the ground. We'll put this old body of sin in the dust. And we'll go to be with the Lord to worship him like we really want to. One day, though, I'll have a new body without sin. Not even capable of sin. I won't have that old nature to contend with. In Romans chapter 13, verse 14, Paul says this, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put off the old man. My pastor, Brother Mahan, used to say, starve him out. Don't feed him. Don't feed him. Starve him out. And ask God to give you a repentant heart. Repentance is something that we never, never get over. We continually repent. Lord, forgive me for that thought. Lord, forgive me again. I need to repent of my repentance. It's so, so weak. So put off the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And then verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be renewed, be refreshed in the spirit of that new mind given in Christ Jesus. What a contrast here between verse 17 where it talks about the vanity of the mind and that spirit of a renewed mind made new in Christ Jesus. What a contrast. Find over here in Colossians chapter 3, Colossians, a few books over, Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. Look at verse 9. He said, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds, put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there's neither Jew nor Greek, Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian nor Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. That's the spirit of a renewed mind, of a renewed mind. Christ is all and in all. We know him. We know him. Now, listen, the old outward fleshly nature is decaying and dying each day, yet the inward man is renewed by grace each day. That's right. Turn over here to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He talks about this old man, verse 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish. This old Adam nature, this old fleshly sin nature is perishing. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. You see that? Renewed day by day. The old fleshly nature is dying. The inward man, that new nature, is renewed every day. Daily grace, daily mercy. The new nature given in regeneration is renewed, refreshed, and revived. How is it revived? How is it refreshed? That new nature that you've been given in the new birth is revived by prayer, by worship, by study of the Word, and by the hearing of the gospel. So then starve out that old nature and feed that new nature in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 24 in closing. Verse 24. And he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And, verse 24, put on the new man. Feed that new man, which after God is created. Now look at that. Created in righteousness, created in true holiness. Put on the new man. That is, not to make ourselves new creatures in Christ. That's entirely the work of God. He makes us new creatures in Christ. You remember over here in chapter 2 of Ephesians? You remember over in verse 10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus? So to put on the new man is not to make ourselves new creatures in Christ. That is entirely the work of God for us and in us. For it is God that regenerates and God that quickens us. As it says in Ephesians 2 verse 1, you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. This new nature, and what he's talking about here, this new man. Now here's the contrast. We still have that old Adam nature, don't we? And Adam all died. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. The believer in Christ Jesus, he still has to contend with that old Adam, fallen, sinful nature. But in regeneration and in the new birth, he's given us a new nature. He is implanted with us, within us, a new holy nature created in righteousness and true holiness. And that divine nature that Peter talks about that we have received cannot sin. So here in this one person, old Tom, I have that new holy nature implanted by the hand of sovereign grace, sovereign mercy. It's the holy nature of Christ in you, the hope of glory. And yet I have that old rotten nature that I drag around. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Peter talks about that divine nature when he writes these words, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." This new nature implanted is a new birth. It is the new birth of God. It's the creation of God. It's not the improvement of the old nature, but entirely something new that was never there before. It's a divine nature that's created in absolute righteousness and true holiness. And it's the peculiar and sovereign work of God to create and to give, to justify, to sanctify, and to redeem. So, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. True holiness.